was telling, he was contrasting himself with the thief. He said the thief does not come, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he has come to give life, and not just to give life alone, life in a bland state, life in a just by and by. He said life in abundance. That is it. It's not just this God that does not just want us to have life, but just have the water that is just there alone. He wants us to have the living water, and that was what Jesus was making a strong case for this woman in John chapter 4, as you have been following us all this while on the Bucket Series ministry. And we today, I don't know, the episode will be 25th, 28th, you have a lot to grind on, a lot to listen to. And so today we're going to kick off from verse 12, as you have known from our last transmission, and where we're having the distilling the wisdom in this, the wisdom of God in this conversation that Jesus was having with this woman. So quickly follow us as we go back to verse 12. Would you like us to
I think 12? We've actually gone back to the 13th verse.
15,
viewers all over the world, we welcome you again to this Bucket Ministry series, where we are drawing out the implication of the gospel. It means if you've heard the gospel, if you believe in the gospel, if you are born again, we bless God for your life. But do you understand the truth of what you have received? In the kingdom of God, things only work when we understand what we have received. That is why we are on this Bucket Ministry series. And we are using the discourse between this woman, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus as the platform to project this revelation knowledge. So welcome again to another episode. Now, in our last transmission, we stopped in we read the 13th and the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John. Mm-hmm. But today, by the grace of God, we're not going to leave that yet, because there are still some gleanings, some things that the Spirit of Christ wants us to draw from those two verses. So we're going to go back there again and read from there today. Can you read the 13th verse and the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John, please?
Jesus answered, everyone who drinks the water will be tested again.
Okay.
But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be tested again.
Okay.
But the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, satisfying his thirst for God, welling up, continually flowing, bubbling within him to eternal life.
Thank you for that. That's amplified. Good. Now, see, in the 13th verse of the 4th chapter, Jesus did say, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. But if you drink of the water I'm going to offer, then you would not thirst like you would have thirsted if you drank from the other water. Now let's bring you to point out some few things here. The very first thing is, if you've been with us on our previous transmissions, we have established by the word of God, we'll not do that again today, we've established that this water that Jesus was referring to could not have been the physical well of Jacob that the woman had with her. The woman thought it was a discourse about the Jacob's well that they were standing by. But we looked at some characteristics of that well. We looked at some properties of that well. And we concluded by the word of God that Jesus wasn't referring to that well. So the question is, when Jesus said, if anybody drinks from this water, which well was Christ referring to? Now, we've been looking at that from the last transmission. We need to identify what is the water, or what is the well of life that mankind has been sucking from, drinking from, siphoning from. What is it? Before Jesus came on the scene, do you understand this? Before the gospel of the Lord Jesus came to offer life to humanity, before the good news about the Lord Jesus came on the scene, mankind has had ways of satisfaction. That's why Jesus said, if you drink from that water, it means the one that is on ground, satisfaction, contentment, completeness, wholeness, had always been on ground before Jesus showed up. Jesus wasn't the very first that would ever say, I can give you satisfaction, I can fulfill your thirst. He wasn't the first. And that's why he admitted by his own statement that I'm aware that mankind has always found satisfaction from one means or the other. Jesus acknowledged that reality. And that's why he said, if you continue to drink from that water. Yeah. Now, the question you are asking is, what is that water? What is the way in which men have been going about life before Jesus brought the good news of the gospel of life in Christ Jesus? We're going to investigate that today by the Spirit of Christ. I want to say this to you. The ways of life, the way to go about life that Jesus referred the woman to by saying, if you drink from that water, that way is still with us today. It has not gone away. It is something that is common to men. The Bible says there's no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to men. It's something common. It's right in front of your nose. And unless we can identify that thing, you will not be able to lay hold on the contrast that Jesus brings in the gospel. That's why Jesus was very specific. The word this in English language is a specific article. It's something you are pointing to. He said, if you drink from this water, it means Jesus said, can't you see it? It's something you can lay hold of. It is really palpable. You can feel it. The way of life that I've come to contrast, it is really something you can see if you drink from this water. And you see, we have to identify this today. That is what we are actually trying to look at today. You want to say one or two things?
No, there? It's good that this is pointed.
Yeah, it said this water. What is this water? Where is this? Let's point to this. Let's lay hold on this by the word of God. Come with us today as we lay hold on this. The means of satisfaction, the means of completeness that men have devised even before the gospel of the Lord Jesus came on the scene. Follow us quickly as we go to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. We're going to read the third chapter from the very first verse. Don't forget, we are trying to identify this water. That's what we're trying to do. Can you read, please?
Are we starting to commend ourselves again?
Now, this is the reading about that verse. This is the Apostle Paul, the writer, by the Holy Spirit of the book of Corinthians. Paul said again. It means Paul said this is the way we used to do things, you know, which we actually have to commend. In a way, we have to prove ourselves. Or in a way, we have to be the one to announce ourselves. We are the one that's supposed to affirm ourselves. It means if we'll be somebody who is satisfied with life, if we're somebody who's contented with life, we need to do this ourselves. So Paul said, do I want to start doing this again? This is what we used to do, where we are the ones that commend ourselves. And you see, this is what is very common in popular, you know, pop culture, you know, in the modern way of living life, in which you do not put the responsibility, or you don't give people that much power over your life to name you. You know, that's what we say today. Don't allow somebody to shame you. Don't allow somebody to dictate to you who you are or what you are. Commend yourself. I mean, look at yourself and bring out value from yourself and affirm yourself. And, you know, there was a day I was looking at something online and somebody wrote something which is very interesting. On a page, they were trying to say, I am someone's,
someone else.
Sister, someone's brother, someone's father, someone's mother. So what the person did was to cancel the father, cancel I'm somebody's brother, cancel I'm somebody's sister, cancel I'm somebody's mother, and said I am someone. I'm someone.
Enough
with all those things. And you might want to say, oh, what a great way. These are people that this is great. You might think it's exciting.
Yeah, that they're coming out of the shadow.
Of mother to say, I am somebody without all those things. Well, there is nothing new in that. It's not new in pop culture. Paul said it himself. He said, I will begin to commend ourselves again. It means people can drink the water of satisfaction of life. you can't actually present yourself and say, I don't want you to label me. I label what myself. It means I'm sufficient within myself. It's nothing new under the sun. But you know one thing that amazes me is that in the second book of 2 Corinthians, this chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, we used to do that before, I don't want to do this again. and you're wondering, but you would have thought this was a great way where you don't allow anybody to name you. Well, the Apostle Paul said, that's not even a way of life I want to go with. That's not a pathway I want to follow. That's why it says, are we starting to commend ourselves again? I wouldn't do it. That's what the Apostle Paul was simply saying. It might sound liberating. It might sound that it's a way of freeing yourself, where you don't allow people to put that hold on you because you think I'm free to be who I am. I'm free to call myself what I choose. I'm free to follow my pathway in life. But the Apostle Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, I don't want to do this again. And you wonder why? Just carry on. Go on, please.
Or do we need, like some false teachers, letters of recommendation to you or from you?
Oh, well, now this is the opposite side of the stick. Can you see? First was, he said, I wouldn't do it to myself. I wouldn't commend myself. I'm not going to go through the stressful thing about naming myself. And he said,
blowing my own trumpet.
But also, I will still even not wait for others to do that on me. This is amazing. It's amazing because this Apostle Paul, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, is trying to contend with two different ideologies that is popular today in life. This is, he's saying, I'm not in that. I'm not in that. I wouldn't do it to myself, and I don't even care if other people have to name me. And then you see, this is the other side where, you know, where people derive. They drink from the water. Jesus said, this water. Don't forget, John chapter 4, verse 13. They drink. You know, the reason why, if you're asking the question today and saying, why do we keep saying drinking is water, is about this type of thing. Is this connected? Well, I'm glad you asked. Think about it. According to science, they would tell you that a human body of a male, an average male adult, on average, has over six, roughly about 60% of the body full of what? Water. I mean, for a baby, it could be about 75%, but for an adult, it's roughly about 60% on average. Yeah, good. Thank you for that. Your body, your the water in your body, that's the highest percentage of content. It is the highest that you have in your body compared to blood, compared to anything else. Water is the highest percentage component of your body. What does that mean? That means we need water more than anything else. In fact, people that fast, that can go without food, there are some days they can say don't go for days and for weeks without food, but most of them cannot survive without water. The human body craves water more than anything else because we are more of what of water. Water is satisfaction. That's the reason why Jesus, when it comes to satisfaction, always tries to use the allegory of thirst and water to tell you about satisfaction and completeness. That's why he used that in the Word of God. In John chapter 7, Jesus said on the last great day of the feast, he said, if anybody is thirsty, let him come. He's not actually talking about H2O. He's talking about, does anybody want satisfaction? Does anybody want meaning in life? Does anybody know want to know why they are here? Does anybody want to know how their life counts? It's about satisfaction. It's about completeness. So it's just an allegory. It's just a way of presenting satisfaction and meaning. So that's why he kept using water and thirst in a way to present the reality. So the Apostle Paul is saying to us here, there's a way I could have gone about finding out myself, about completing myself. I could have done it myself, but I chose not to do it. And you see, the reason why it's not easy doing this yourself, I mean, this I want to point out, it's not really easy because it's a very hard work. Is anybody, it's that, you see, the reason why when Jesus said, is anybody weary? I mean, Matthew, he said, all you that are weary and what? And heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. You know, when it says weary and heavy laden, it said it's stressful. It's a life of stress where you are given, you have given yourself the responsibility to call out yourself, to name yourself. You know why? Because you have to keep on the run, on the treadmill of what? Of making sure that you achieve something so that you can feel good about what? Yourself. You have to be on the treadmill to always make sure that you keep drawing into yourself. You have to keep hammering into yourself. You have to keep affirming yourself. And that's why it's very fluid. When I say very fluid, it's that it is very fickle. That's why when somebody says anything to you or somebody calls you something, you feel very insecure because you have given yourself your own responsibility of naming yourself. And that's why you see in society today, that's why if you criticize people because of the kind of life they choose to live, or if you say that's not right, people today find it very hard to take what? Criticism easily. In fact, today, unlike before, unlike probably decades ago, if you say one thing today, can somebody can commit suicide just because somebody said something wrong to them. The humanity has become so fickle. There's no base anymore.
I think because even the standards are changing over time. So people trying to keep in up with it is, you see, the what the society uploads today is not the same thing.
Exactly. So once they upload something, you have to then what? Make sure you adapt your life into it.
So that you can feel,
you can feel among, you can feel great. It's simply because you have given yourself that task. It's a never-ending task. It makes sense where Apostle Paul said, I don't want to go down that route. I don't want to commend myself. Again, it means if you change the goalpost and I have to adapt just to make sure that I feel great and I feel good or feel satisfied, about myself. And there are times it's very inconsistent. When I say inconsistent, is, for example, you feel today this is the way you think you should go to express yourself. And in the next 1-2 weeks or few months or few years,
few hours,
you actually feel completely the opposite. And say, oh, I think that's who I am. That's who I am. But we say, but the other time, that's what some people today, they say, I feel like I am this person. And then if you ask them next month, they say, no, they've changed the whole outlook now. I feel like I'm what? The other person. This goes all the way to people's relationship, orientation, mentality, sexuality. The whole humanity is confused because we think we can name ourselves, but we keep changing. So if you keep changing, who really are you? That's why it's a very stressful life. The apostle Paul said, I'm not going to go down what that route. And then he then said that if you think the other route is better, which is the other way, which is where
there is waiting, an emphatic no here. The answer is no.
No. And it says, if you think I'm going to wait for other people to do that to me, I mean, this is what you obtain in traditional culture, where it seems less stressful because you don't have to keep, you know, flowing with the tide of things, unlike the first one. You don't have to keep keeping up with the Joneses, unlike the first one. You don't have to start naming yourself and affirming yourself and trying to identify and say, I'm a great person, I know who I am. You don't have to keep doing that. All you have to do is
allow somebody to do the job for you.
Slide into your role within the community. Is that okay? Be a good wife. Hey, that's it. Once you're a good wife, just allow the community to say, that's a very great woman. Because she's always there for her children. Oh, she's very great. And you feel good about yourself. Waiting for others to put the title on you. It's less stressful because you're not the one doing the job. Community is doing it for you. Or people who sacrifice themselves as heroes in the community. You see, that's why people sacrifice their time, sacrifice their own energy, sacrifice their resources, even their lives in some cases. So that society can then say, yes, that is a great hero. That's a great man. That's a mighty man. That man is a great father. Oh, that man is a great leader. He labored and everything. For people do all these things so they can get the affirmation from the society. It's less stressful, which is a good news. But the bad news is, what about if the people conferring the identity on you become unreasonable? Maybe, I mean,
changing their mind. The standards become unreasonable.
Or imagine if some children have been crushed by their parents because, you know, some parents...
Of the expectations.
As long as I'm fulfilling my parents' expectation, I feel great about myself. I wait for them to give me that commendation. That's a really good thing. You might think it's good, but the danger in that is, what about if those parents have unusually high expectations and they have chosen to call that child a failure unless he meets that what expectation?
Out of their selfishness.
So it's not even safe to live that kind of... That's the type of traditional culture, the way people get satisfaction. The way people satisfy their thirst.
Destroyed by it that way.
They've been destroyed. So the Apostle Paul said, I cannot continue to commend myself again. I can't do this anymore. And he said, am I then saying the reason why I will not commend myself again? Because I was waiting for others to what?
To commend.
He said, no, I reject this and I reject that. I refuse to drink. That's why Jesus said to that woman in John chapter 4, he said, if you drink from this water, there's a way people have been getting this satisfaction of life. So Christ was referring to a this. That's it. That's what we're trying to lay hold on that today. So Paul said, I'm not going to go for that. And I'm not going to go for that. Can you see? I wouldn't do that. So what did he say next?
Verse 2. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3.
2 Corinthians chapter 3. Good.
You are our letter of recommendation.
Okay. Go
written in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Recognized and read by everyone.
Okay.
You show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us.
Okay.
Written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God.
Okay, go on.
Not on tablet of stone, but on tablet of human heart.
Good, please.
Such is the confidence and steadfast reliance and absolute trust that we have through Christ towards God.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we are sufficiently qualified in ourselves.
Can you see that?
To claim anything as coming from us.
Okay.
But our sufficiency and qualifications come from God.
Can you see that? So, you know, the Apostle Paul sounds to me like a researcher. He was proposing a thesis. He said, if I say to you that I refuse to drink from that water, of commending myself. And if I say to you, I used to drink from the other water where I wait for people to put it on me. And you're wondering, and then you should ask a question if you're a great thinker. If
what
you're
other
critical,
option do you have?
Hey, what's it for? There are only two ways you can do this thing. And the person said, I propose a third way. I'll propose
a third way.
Where you can drink and be satisfied with life. Where you can be complete and be contented with life. So Paul proposed a third way. That's what he did. He rejected the popular two ways. I mean, and he proposed a third one. That's why Jesus was saying to that woman, if you drink from this water. So what Jesus did in the 13th verse of John 4 was to propose a third way as well. Because Jesus said, the water I will give you. I propose Jesus. So the Apostle Paul was really in a kind of mirroring John 4:13 to say, I wouldn't drink from that water or that water. There's a third way. And that's the third way we've come to propose to you as well. That is a way to get satisfied with life. And it's not any of the ways that are in what? Popular pop culture.
That's oh, before you go further, it's good that people should know, because in this world, people thought they only have a binary option. It's either this or that. Even when we have our language of communication conveyed in that way, they say you have a choice between the deep red sea, the devil and the deep red sea, or jumping from the fire. To fire. So sometimes they feel like, oh, you just have. And then some people come and say, oh, I'm from the East. They are running away from the East, from the mold and the problem and consequences of living under this kind of expectation, of realistic expectation, selfish agenda.
I run
to the West and say, well, you can be free yourself and you can name your terms of the...
You can name yourself.
Yeah, name your terms of engagement with people, how you want to refer to me today, how I want to be. Today, so people running from just like the same binary option, either this or that, east or west, this and this. But it's good to know that there is a third way here. Yeah, we don't have to, it doesn't have to be, you know, making a bad choice out of the worst one. You don't have to go for the bad or the worst. There is the more excellent way. We have scripture referring to there is
a
more excellent
way,
which is the more excellent way. And it's good for us to look deeply into what. Apostle Paul is saying, and see, let's see the merit of this third way.
Yeah,
the sense in this.
Why? Well, yeah, but why is he say? Why is he safest one? Because you know the thing about the name of the Lord. The scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs into it,
and
they
are
safe. So if the Apostle Paul was going to run into this third wave, and he says, "I reject the first one, I reject the second one," in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1, verse 2, he rejected both ways and said, "I'm going for the third one." We have to compare and contrast. And also, this will boil down to John 4:13, where Jesus Christ rejected that water. He told the woman, if you drink, continue to drink from that water, you're going to have problems. You know,
it's like a measure of intelligence here, because of depth. And you can see Apostle Paul not going to settle for the surface level of choice. There's going to go further. And that is why what this exposition is all about. And that's what Exposition 247 is about. So we don't need to settle for what is around or what has been available today. We need to have the appetite for more to say, like, oh, is there a better way than how they...
I'll show you a better way.
More excellent way. And then it takes something of depth. It takes some sort of scholastic inquiry into this to know what is this. Can it be better than what we have on ground? Even in our religious or spiritual disposition, there is no longer binary options anymore about how we relate. There's an excellent way to know that this, because we see people, they come in, even ministers of God, they come where they come in, they interpret things based on their own culture or based on the supposed culture. Popular culture. And so because they are seeing the merit of what they have, the mold or what is in the environment, so they begin to elevate the other side. And they try to balance it and try to bring the goods of that and balance
it.
And feel like, yes, we can learn from this. We can learn. No, we are from the West. We can learn from the West. Oh, we are from the West. We can learn
from
the
East.
It doesn't have to be this way.
It doesn't have to be West or East. There is. There's a third option. And that is what Jesus presented in John 4:13. That's what he presented to the woman and said, woman, you don't have to continue with that water. I have a different one here. And that's it. And then you see, what Jesus did is what we're going to do today. I wouldn't say we're presenting the gospel as it were if you're born again. We are drawing out the implication of the gospel for you if you're in Christ Jesus. What the Apostle Paul is simply doing is what Christ did in John 4:13. Jesus told the woman, the problem she would have if she continued without water.
And then that brings the opening verse that I quoted today in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus was contrasted like a third option. So he said, like, the thief comes to steal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you can have life.
Yeah.
And then you can have life in abundance. So yeah, exactly. It is a third option too. Do you just want to manage with life? Do you want to, get you don't have life or you want life in abundance?
Mm.
So that is it. Jesus was actually pointing to that woman to, well, you can still drink from this. So it's like you can have life, you can make do. And some will be making do. Some have been making do with it, and some will make do with it, as we are even talking today.
But
some
have a problem with thirst. Again.
That is it.
You were going to go through a cycle of life that you would not find palatable. It's stressful, it's hard, it's labor. It doesn't allow you to enjoy the benefits of the cross.
So Christ is calling us to come to the life in abundance. He's calling us to this excellent way. I think the third option, we begin to now, as we look into the scripture, we begin to come with the glass and the appetite to look for where is the third option now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where is the third option? That is how we should approach it.
Mm-hmm. Now, thank you for that. Now, you see, before we begin to do what Christ did in his presentation in John 4:13, where he showed the woman that if you want to carry on that way, something will go wrong very soon. You will get into an endless cycle of thirst, an endless cycle of frustration very soon if you continue that way. Before we begin to draw on that, let us also see another side of this of thinking, of
don't
experience.
Don't you want us to read this?
No, not yet.
Far.
Yeah, we're going to come there, but we just want to expatiate more. Just hold on to that. Viewers, listeners, we're going to come down to that verse 5 very soon.
Four,
is it verse 4? 4 and 5 very soon. Before we do that, let's make more case for this water that Jesus was pointing that woman to in John 4:13. Now, can you read quickly, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4.
Okay.
I wouldn't forget, we're coming back to verse 4, verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 3. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 4 from verse 1. Now, look at this. This is another, I'll call it a second testimony to corroborate John 4:13.
So then,
mm-hmm.
let us who minister be regarded as servants of Christ.
Yeah, ministers.
And stewards,
okay.
Trustees,
mm-hmm.
administrators of the mystery of God.
Again.
That he chooses to reveal.
Okay.
In this case, moreover, it is required as essential and demanded of stewards that one be found faithful and trustworthy.
Committed. Good.
But as for me personally.
Now watch that. He said it's expected that if you are a steward of the mysteries of God,
to be faithful.
If you're a custodian of God's ministry, of the mystery of Christ, that you be committed and be faithful to that which you have received. Now, that means you don't be lazy, you labor, you exercise all of the grace of God in your life. He said it's good to do all that. But he said, as for me, in a way, he said, but as for me, the reason why he said that, this will actually be resounding one of our earlier titles that we did when we began the Bucket Ministry series. Well, we're going to talk about the fact that work is good.
Yeah.
That work is great. When you are committed to the task given to you, it's a very great thing. There's a but to it. That's why it says but. Now what?
As for me personally.
As for me personally.
It matters very little to me.
That what?
That I may be judged by you.
Oh, okay. Now this is amazing. That as I go about being committed to the vision that God has placed in my heart. As a steward. Whether you're a steward. I'm always a steward. You could be a custodian of God's grace, either within the four walls of the church
or outside.
Don't forget that we have said before that ministers of God are not just people on the pulpit. Because the scripture did say that even the person in government, it said, is the minister of God to exercise God's justice against the evildoers. Can you see that? So he said, whatever minister you are in this world, whatever grace that God has put in you to use, resources, capacity, ability, capacity that you have in this world, blessed be God. He said, but first, as for me, I'm not going to depend or measure the completeness of my life. I'm not going to be happy or contented.
I have to read it.
That I'm alright. Go on, please.
But as for me personally, it matters very little to me that I may be judged by you or any human court on this point.
Now, which way of life is that? He's making a case for some people are like this, where it matters a lot to them
what
the court of public opinion says. That's why I use the word court. I mean, if other people say, it matters a lot to them. Paul said, it doesn't matter not to me what they say.
Counts nothing.
It doesn't count. Ah, that would then sound consistent with 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3, where he did say that I'm not waiting for people to be the one to commend,
to affirm me.
He says, I'm not waiting on that. So I reject the traditional culture.
In fact,
now what? In fact,
I do not even judge myself.
Ah, you see, because I rejected traditional culture, you might think I'm on the side of the modern culture.
Yes, I'm so to judge myself and be the judge of my life.
He said, because I said I'm not going to be living my life through the lens of what people want to, you know, you would have thought, oh, maybe I'm pro modern, or I'm pro individualism, or I'm pro. I'm not a pro that. I'm not even pro-self. And people get confused. You're not pro-self and you're not pro-that.
Pro-others.
Pro what are you? Now, this is a second testimony of the way this great man of God, Apostle Paul, lived his life so much that is the effect of his ministry, the effect of the life he lived is still reverberating up to today. It